I see a poster of Gravity behind you.
I love Gravity. It's one of my,
Yeah.
yeah. I've got an eclectic mix. I've got kids, so I've got Coco on one side and Gravity on the other.
I
And
have kids. I have very young kids as well, 4 and 2, and so we're all about a lot of Paw Patrol and Encanto and
yeah.
May May as well, like
Oh yeah.
the red what's called the red panda
Yes,
thing.
I forget what it's
That's
called.
set in
But
Toronto.
yes. Where they refer to the Rogers Centre as the Sky Dome, and I'm
Yeah,
like,
I know.
this is a good thing. Charles Olivier, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Yes.
Oh, honestly, Rue is an incredible film. It's so
Oh.
beautiful. What excited you about the project? What brought you in?
When I first read the book, that was in 2009, in the fall of 2009, the book had just came out. It was before the book became like a big success, and it was 6 years, 7 years before I was involved in making this film. I read the book, and I thought it was so vivid in the descriptions, in the way that it was seeing the world, that it was also a non-conventional kind of story of it was a story about family. It was a story about sacrifice, but it was most to me, that was, I read the book as if it was kind of a photo book without the photos. Like, the images were so precise and so raw and real that I was like, oh, this gives way for music, for sound, for cinematography. It was, I don't know, it was, yeah, I really liked the book right away, and I thought it was gonna be a film one day without knowing that I would make it.
It truly is a beautiful project, and Kim's story is an incredible one. I'm wondering, what was she involved in the project? Did she
Yeah.
help shape the vision? How did she how was she involved with you?
Well, Kim, of course, she's the writer of the book. I mean, this is her. This is her story. This is her life. This is her family. She was very present, but at the same time, she had one condition with me and the team, is that we would be free to make the film that we wanted to make, and that we would bring a lot of art, that we would invest a lot of who we are in the film, not just in the making, but in what the film looks like. It was very important that we would have that creative freedom. And to me, I wanted to make the film like people, a lot of people, it's a book. The book sold for like 600,000 copies or 1 million copies. It was translated in 30 languages in 50 countries. I
Wow.
mean, it was very, very big success. And people are kind of, how do you go about approaching like a big success like this? And I was like, yeah, it was a success, yes. But when Kim wrote it, she never planned on selling millions of copies of books. She never planned on anything. She just told a story in a very unconventional, very personal, intimate way. And I wanted to have I thought the artistic gesture, like the artistic way of writing it, was very pure, was not it did not have any ambitions, and it made it so precise that I wanted to recreate that pure gesture, artistic gesture, in making the film, and make sure that we were really going for this kind of unconventional, very poetic, very lyrical way of shooting, that was in a film that I was hoping that maybe some people would go see, that it would travel and all that, but I really wanted the film to be very free and very unique in its visual sound and music style. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's an ebb and a flow to this film that's just unlike so many other stories that we've seen on screen for this. I'm glad you brought this up with the book, because one of the things I love about this particular film, it comes near the end when she's beginning to write.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase that says, "When you write, you can hear the clouds move."
Yeah, I love that.
I
That's
was
from the
wondering,
book.
is that's actually from the book?
Yeah.
What do you think the power is of getting of the arts to help us express these stories? Because these are such complicated emotional moments that she's telling in the book and that you're bringing to life on screen.
I mean, art is what makes us understand our circumstances in life and what we came through as a person, as a family, as a society, how we have survived, how, you know, we talk a lot of, I mean, I was watching news last night and we, you know, we talk, immigration is a very big subject, it's very delicate, it's fragile, it's bringing a lot of hate from some certain fringe. It's a big debate in society, and I'm like Rue is a successful immigration story, even though if to me the film was never an immigration story, but it's you know, Kim has become a successful writer, her brother is a CEO of an insurance company in Asia, and her another brother is an accomplished dentist with a big clinic. It's they are the proof that you know, they integrated well, that people that welcomed them, like there was a big synergy. And I don't think that these guys, like the family, would have accomplished all these things if maybe they had stayed in Vietnam. I mean, life would have been different. So yeah, I wanted the film to have a resonating, you know, subject, but also be it very hopeful and power and very, very hopeful, and also having an allegory of the mundane, of the everyday challenges of life. Very, very simple, very quiet, very, you know, that we have to there's so many different things that we have to achieve every day, especially people newcomers. And yeah, it's a film about the little things, the little victories, the little beauties.
For sure. And I love the fact that there's a balance to this film. It seems to be a balanced film, like this focus on embracing a new life, but still carrying the trauma. Like this is very much every moment here feels full of complex things, whether it's offering, Quebecois food, and young Tin, am I pronouncing it properly? Tin is sitting there, and there's these images of back home that are in here while the world is going on around her. And I was wondering about that balance in your conversations with Kim or something as well. How do you think someone can embrace their new life while still carrying the impact of these traumas?
I think we all carry our past. We all carry, you know, we all carry a past that can be good and bad and horrific and strange, but we all carry the experiences that we live through, and it's all part of us. But when someone is kind of going, you know, and we carry these traumas or these experiences in our life, in our memory, and they become part of who we are, part of our identity. But when you are, you know, displaced or moved from one country to another, and you have a new life, that's when you have to confront what you've lived recently and with the new life, and kind of make a contrast of it. And so it's more in your face because you're living through this strangeness of being, you know, of changing countries. But we are all the sum of our traumas, you know, even if our traumas are tiny. You know, you may have moved from one city to 20 miles away, and it can you change schools, and it can be a trauma, you know. So it's all part of who we are. And I wanted the film because we know we like the film. To me, it's a way of saying that nobody knows the path or the journey of anyone. You do not know what I went through this morning and what you went, and I don't know what you went through this morning or yesterday. So I'm not supposed to judge. I'm supposed to have empathy, and I should. And this is towards immigrants, but this is towards our neighbors, this is towards everyone, because we all have our own experiences, and we're all extras in the lives of others, and we all cross paths. And sometimes we go, oh yeah, he's dressed weird, or he's looking pretentious, or maybe he's having a bad day. Maybe, yes, he's. I mean, we cannot judge, and we have to, you know, as Kim says, if we all walk towards the middle, all of us, then maybe life would be simpler. Not all the way, just, you know, 3 steps towards the middle. Maybe ask it, how do you pronounce, you know, how do you pronounce your name? I don't know how to pronounce your name. How do you, hey, where do you come from? Are you, and not being afraid of making mistakes. And the film is very much like that in the Quebecois, their ignorance and their kind of naivete is that, you know, it takes the whole film for them to know the journey of the Vietnamese family. While the young girl, Joanne, she's the one kind of saying, asking the questions that shouldn't be asked. But if we did ask the questions, if we're not afraid to be clumsy or to make mistakes, then that's when we kind of isolate ourselves from the others. And that's when we create our fears and we judge and we're afraid. And that shouldn't be. I think life and the world would be simpler and be more peaceful if we ask more questions and we weren't afraid to embarrass ourselves and be clumsy and not say the right things.
I love that, because one of the things that really jumped out about me in this film are the other people outside. The people, you know, because they are genuine, warm, caring people for the most part. There's a few sprinkled in here, but they're, and yet they still feel off. Like there's something missing. And you know, I think it, even when they first arrive, there's a simple moment where they're talking about, you know, whether or not they want Mae West and Swiss rolls. Why not? They're delicious. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, this is such an honest and pure moment. It's like, no, they're great. I'm sure they'll want them, but that's not their food.
Yeah.
So this is, forgive me if this question's a little obscure, but I was wondering about the difference between care and compassion in your mind, because there are these moments where like, I want to help.
Yeah.
And then there are moments where they realize, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't know how to help.
Yeah. I love the fact that these, like the Quebecois families, they help without asking anything in return. They just help because they could. Is it because we don't explain it, but we see from their house that it is a nice house. They're probably well off. They're not rich, but they're probably, you know, upper middle class. And they have, and sometimes what we think is not as much the money as much as is the time that you have to give. And it's the time that you have to dedicate to others. And to me, that was, it's very, because it's true. You know, the program, the sponsorship, the godfathering or sponsorship program was in Canada was created in the 1970s for the Vietnamese people, and it's still ongoing today for all different cultures from Syria, from Kosovo, from everywhere around the world. And it started with the Vietnamese. But these people that volunteered and raised their hands and said, oh yeah, I would like to help. They did it, and there was no Facebook where they could brag about it. There was no, I mean, they just did it out of care and compassion. And maybe the compassion is maybe the first thing that you say, oh, these people might need help. And the care after becomes something on the longer run, because you'll be, oh, they'll need a mattress, they'll need a job, they'll need a car, they'll need to know where the grocery store is, they'll need these tiny details sometimes can, for us, they're stupid, they're simple, the grocery store is across the street there, but for them, the newer people who arrive, it's the most complicated things, because there's snow outside. How the hell are we going to get dressed? How are we going to get a sewing machine? How are we going to go to the school? So it's the care, is the people that will, you know, the sponsors will be like, I'll do these little things every day, and perhaps these little things will eventually make your life easier, and you won't be isolated and forced to learn all these things alone. So yeah. To me, that's compassion is the first gesture, and care is the follow through. The follow through is the hardest.
Yeah.
Because imagine if, you know, we welcoming someone and making a party and making them arrive in a nice community center and having all these cakes and this food and blah blah and celebrating and clapping. This is amazing. But after is the hard work of being there. And when, like, with the Patrice, the father, he says, oh, every Sunday you're going to be spending it with us. And it's going to be lunch. It's going to be snowshoeing. It's going to be, we're going to go to the zoo. We're going to go activities. You know, we'll help you. Every Sunday is going to be with us. I mean, you have, how many kids do you have?
Two kids, two boys.
I have two kids. I'm exhausted. I mean, I'm a privileged person, and I have a good life and a nice house, and you know, and I, when I making this film made me realize how fortunate I am of having my life, of having a daycare that is safe. It's 5 minutes from my house, and being able to see my kids every day and have a good life. It's, you know, I could help. I could help, and sometimes the help comes with the time and to show the little things. It doesn't need to be giving, you know, giving money. The time is the most precious thing, the time that you give to others. And I wanted the film to be kind of to honor that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that comes across. Even, you know, the idea as well, you know, you see these families that are offering the compassion, staying with them. And it finally dawns on them of the gravity of the stories,
yeah.
You know, and it almost takes it even to another level. You know what you're saying? It takes a little bit deeper. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. What do you hope people take away from Rue, just as we wrap up?
As I, you know, to me, the aside from the whole immigration story, to me, the film is really the birth of an artist. It's the emerging of an artist, of someone who has never, the art was inside of her, and she, you know, Tin, which is, it was Kim Tui in real life. She, at 10 years old, when she arrived, she saw all these things. She observed all these things, the people that welcomed them, the details around life. It was a new world. And for 30 years, it lived inside her mind. And then when she decided to write, then she went back. She did not write a thriller. She did not write a love story. She wrote what she wrote, or she wrote her experience, her observations, and she digested it, and she understood it, and she gave it back to us. And to me, that's the film. And I want people to kind of, you know, see that the film is more than, it's not just an immigration story. But it's also the path of an artist. It's also the sacrifice of parents. To me, it's a love letter to all the dads and the moms. There's a scene in the film, and you have a two boys, or a boy, boy and girl?
Two boys.
I have two boys as well. And the scene is, it's a simple scene. There's no dialogue. Simple. Nobody noticed that scene, but fathers have noticed it. Is when the dad is making the bed, and he has his two boys side by side, and they all lean on him. And to me, that's a love letter to all the dads. For all the things that they do for their kids, boys and girls, and all the sacrifices, all the details of just being there. And I want the film to be all these things. That is not just an immigration story. It's not just it's not a spectacular story. It's a very intimate, very personal, very unique story that becomes universal when you pull out the experiences that touch you and that relate to you on a personal level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a wonderful film. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. It's a beautiful piece, and
thank you.
Congratulations on it. I wish you the best.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Right. You too.
Don't worry. I can never stop.